have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I believe in God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to For His Glory. I'm your host, Apostle Brian Blackman. I'm here along with my marvelous producer, Kimmy Kim. We love her so much. We thank the Lord for her, and we thank God for you. Oh, my God. We just are, again, just thanking God for, again, another day, another opportunity to bring forth the word of the Lord. And we thank you for taking your time out to partake of what, you know, God is saying and what God is doing and what he's been laying upon my heart, I guess, in the past 2 days. Anyway, but we're not going to prolong. We're just going to go into the word tonight. But before we go there, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for Kimmy Kim, Elation Radio family. We thank you, God, for who you are most of all. And we thank you, Lord God, for each and everyone who's on here listening tonight or whenever they may pick this up. We thank you, Lord God, in advance that it will fall upon good soil, good ground. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that it will be cultivated, it will grow, it will produce, it will multiply, that you be glorified in the name, that you be glorified in the world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Okay, hallelujah. God kind of dropped something. I don't know why I said kind of. Dropped something on me yesterday, and it may have been a little bit sooner than yesterday. But it started to resonate a little bit more yesterday. And I'm really believing that what he has dropped on me is for the body of Christ, more so. And also not only just the body of Christ, but for those of us who are just coming into the place to where we know God, or knowing God, building a relationship with God. And sometimes being in that place is not always easy. And then at the same time, there's other things that goes on in the body of Christ that once you have a call on your life or have a call of God on your life, it's not always easy as well. And what God, what he downloaded on me, and I think I may be in this particular subject for a while now, it's what he dropped in my spirit was, chosen by God, yet rejected by many. Say that again. Chosen by God, yet rejected by many. A lot of times when we realize that the hand of God is on our lives, that we've been chosen by God to take our hands and put it upon the plow, because the scripture talked about. Sometimes when we realize that God has ordained us, should we say ordained, have affirmed, or confirmed that he has called us to do his bidding, to do his will. When we first come to the knowledge of that taking place, a lot of times we are ecstatic. A lot of times, let me back up a little bit, because it's not necessarily true either. Sometimes when we first hear the call, there's almost like a state of confusion. It's almost like a battle, and it is actually a battle that goes on in the mind, in the heart, the spirit of man. That's why when we see in the scripture how when God first called Moses, Moses said, "I'm a man, you know, with stammering lips. I can't do this." It's a war that goes on. The scripture talks about how the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. And It not only happened with Moses, but it was Isaiah. When God called Isaiah, Isaiah spoke out and said, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, with I cuss you out. I know you can't be, I know you can't be choosing me. So when the choice of God goes out, immediately, in most cases, there is a warfare that goes on within that individual. So it's normal. If you hear the call and you decide you're going to do the Jonah, it's a normal thing. The thing about it is that once you're chosen, you don't get away from that call. You don't get away from it. That call is there. He chose who he chose, and he ain't like, you know, trying to feel that, you know, I'm gonna take this call back. No, I'm God. I said what I said. I meant what I said, and it's gonna come to pass because I said what I said. I'm God. He just got it like that. He's God. Thing about it is, I guess what we're targeting tonight is that after you have accepted the call, after you have accepted the challenge, the anointing, the whole nine, you will find in life, and you're going to find it in more times than once. And I pray that you know, this, what we go through tonight, will help encourage someone out there. I know a lot of times I've been speaking some different things, and it seems like a lot of stuff has been like browbeating or correction or warnings, woes, and what have you. But that's because God has been showing me some different things that's going on in the body of Christ. And tonight we're going to try to encourage somebody that may feel like they may be out of place, or they may feel like the whole world might be against them. And we just want to encourage them to hold on, keep the faith. God said what he said. You was chosen by God. You might as well pick up the pieces. When I said that, it reminded me of one of the groups that I used to listen to, Average White Man. They had a song that said, pick up the pieces. You might as well just pick up the pieces, put it all together, and run with it. For he that runs to the end, he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But as I was saying, you're chosen by God. And a lot of times when you're chosen by God, there is a readiness, there's a gladness. You know, once you accept it, you're like, yeah, let's do this. Okay, I got God backing me, and who can be against me? And that is true. That is true. But I found out that when you carry truth, God, sometimes when you carry truth, truth is not always wanted. Truth is not always accepted. Truth sometimes will get you somewhat in trouble, and it will get you rejected by many. And there's several places in the Word where we'll see that different times and different places where people who had the call on their lives did get rejected. And they got rejected by many. And sometimes it's not always a comfortable feeling whatsoever. It's not always a comfortable feeling whatsoever, because you know you're doing the right thing. You're following the instructions of the Lord. And because you follow what God said, follow, and do what God said, do, now you're rejected like a piece of trash or a piece of clay or something that nobody really wants or be bothered with. So let's look at 1 Samuel 8:7. I've actually had, you know, God to speak this to me because of a certain situation that I was going through. And I realized, wow, God, is it really like that? Is that serious? It's really that serious. And it is just that serious. Some people don't realize what they're actually doing when they reject you like that. 1 Samuel 8, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. Let's go. I'll take that back. Let's go 1 Samuel 8 and 1. 8 and 1. 8 and 1. And it says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abi. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside their liquor and took bribe and perverted judgment. And all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But that thing displeased Samuel, and they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now, I want to back up a little bit because there were some things that was just unfolded unto me as I was reading this. Now, Samuel had called his two sons to help him, you know, reign. Israel had become great. They're a big crowd. So I imagine he decided, well, he'll delegate some stuff to his son. Now, the elders came, said, okay, your son's been taking bribes. They've been perverting judgment. And the elders came to Samuel thinking that by this they had just caused to say, we no longer want you to be a judge over us. We want us a king. Listen, there are times that when people want to reject you, they may not have an exact reason or a good cause to reject you. So what they would try to do or what they will do is try to look at somebody that is close to you. And then because you're connected to that person or persons, feel like they are just in getting rid of the whole kit and caboodle. But the bottom line of them wanting to reject Samuel wasn't so much because of the sons. It was because they wanted to be, like it says, make us a king. Give us a king. Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Saul and Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. Now, not only are they talking about the sons, now they're trying to look at his age and discredit him because of his age. They're saying, you are old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways, so now make us a king to judge us like all other nations. So when they came out with their out of the mouth, make us a king to judge us like all other nations, their real agenda that was hidden came out. it wasn't so much that things were so bad with Samuel, but we're gonna use the excuse that you're old, so because you're old, we want to get rid of you. And the real deal is, we want us a king, like all the other nations. See cases like this. You have people who are of the spirit of God, and then you have other people who are operating in the flesh. Israel was looking at other nations who had kings, and they start to want to operate in the flesh. See, if you're in the spirit, you understand that as long as that person is being governed. Oh, did I say that right? I did. As long as you're in the spirit of God, and you're functioning in the spirit of God, you're doing the things by the spirit of God. Age has nothing to do with it, but they wanted to use his age as an excuse to disqualify him so that they could get a king. Not a judge, but a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. That's why, I guess you could say, that's why the commercial, I want to be like Mike and all that. We don't hear that no more, but that's why that can be dangerous. I always want to be like somebody else. No, be you. Allow God to continue to govern you. Don't get sucked in by the numbers or the fame or the fortune. Be content wherefore God has called you. Do what God has called you. Hold fast. Stay steadfast. Keep doing that which God has called you to do, which God has chosen you to be. And everything will be all right. Don't be persuaded things that you see around you are by the things of the flesh. It is amazing that even right now, I'm hearing more and more, and God has, I mean, if you've been listening to some of the other podcasts in the last 2-3 weeks or so, God's been dealing with and talking about warring against the flesh, warring against the flesh. Because God is doing something with the body of Christ where he's requiring more faith. And then in order to operate in the things of faith, you're going to have to keep your spirit man fed. You're going to have to be moving more so in the spirit and in tune with the spirit of God than the things of this world. God. So they went to him and said, we want a king, not a judge. In the 6th verse, it says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Wow. See, sometimes we get so caught up. We take the rejection personal, and we think, oh, God, what did I do wrong? What did I miss you, God? What did I say something wrong? No, you didn't say anything wrong. That was the problem. You said exactly what God said say. You did exactly what God said do. The problem is that they don't want to come out of their flesh long enough to adhere and obey what God said. So because they really can't fight God, they can only fight the messenger. They can only shoot the messenger. So a lot of times you're going to get some heat. A lot of times you're going to get rejection. A lot of times you're going to get ridicule because of you're obedient to God. You did what God said do. You went where God said go. The thing about it is that before you got there, God already knew whoever he was sending you to wasn't going to like you. God already knew that whoever he sent you to, they wasn't going to accept you. God already knew that the minute whatever he told you to speak out of your mouth, there was going to be a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle to come along with what you said. The thing about it is that you still have to hold fast to what God told you to do. Hold fast to the assignment. Hold fast. The church used to say, hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Now is not the time for you to sulk. Now is not the time for you to have a pity party. Yeah, they rejected you. No, they didn't reject you. They did. They rejected the Spirit of God that's within you. They rejected the Spirit of the true and living God that is within you. So, here it is. God said, go along with it. Because they didn't reject you, they rejected me. I'm just here to say, because you have been chosen by God, it's not going to always be a pretty picture. It seems that way in the beginning, and sometimes even after you get through your first little trial, your first little bump, I had to go through, and most of us have to go through what we call a wilderness experience. Especially now, I'm helping some of these prophets out there. If you're a true prophet, I'm going to say that right, because some of them saying prophet, they ain't really no prophet. But if you're a true prophet, you're a true apostle, if you speak pastors, evangelists, teachers, you're going to go through a wilderness experience. You're going to go through some hard times where God is shaping and molding you, and you just have to man up. Because it's not always going to be pretty. It's not going to be always glamorous. I know it looks that way, especially when you see somebody that has matured in the Lord and they're beginning to flow in the things of God, and they can flow prophetically and they can operate with signs and wonders and miracles. And you think, yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. But you don't know the price. You don't know the price that a lot of people go through when God begins to use them like that. Some of us have encountered near-death experiences to where God just almost there, and then God steps in and revives you and brings you all the way back and make you something brand new in him, and you begin to operate and function. But those things, he does those things to different individuals so that they'll be able to operate and function. And I mean, if you haven't experienced some things, you can't tell certain people about certain things if you hadn't experienced them yourself. The person who got delivered off a crack, hey, he can read somebody a whole lot quicker than I can, because I never experienced that. But if he experienced that and God delivered him from that, trust me, he knows a whole lot more about it than I can. And God can use him. Not saying that he won't use me. But I'm just saying, it happens like that. God is, he's a God of order. He does things, particular ways that we know not of. Listen, they tried to discredit him because of his age. Now, what we think or look at in the natural, we'll say certain things like that. Oh, no, nah, they on their last leg. What more could they know? What more? You know, and we try to come back and say, well, you know, that was for back then. What about now? You know, we need to do something different now because that was back then. But we have to realize God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And we can't just put somebody in the box and say, well, because, oh, my God, because this, that, and the third, they're too old. Let's get rid of that so we can get this over here. Picking things out by the flesh. Oh, God, there we go again. And see, what we don't realize is that a lot of times when we do things of the flesh, and there's a woe on it already. The word says woe upon those who lean upon the arm of the flesh, who depend upon the arm of the flesh to hold them up. Flesh can't hold you up but for so long. But the spirit is continuous. It's always there. If it's a choice that's made by the Spirit of God, it'll last. If it's not a choice that's made by the Spirit of God, it'll pass. It ain't gonna always be there. Oh, my God. Anyway, he told them, he said, go ahead and give them what they want. And then it said, according to, and in the eighth verse, it says, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even until this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. So God is saying, look, let me remind you of something. Ever since I brought this group out of Egypt, he said, even until this day, they have forsaken me. I want to read that out of the NET. It says, just as they have done from the day that I brought them up from Egypt until this very day, they have rejected me and served other gods. This is what they are also doing to you. Isn't that something? How God chooses us, puts us in a place, and then by him putting us in a particular place, we get to feel what God feels. That is something. We get to feel what God feels because he's telling Samuel, he's saying, look, the whole time, even before your time, I've been dealing with these people for a long time. I brought them up out of Egypt. And during the time that I brought them up out of Egypt, they was always rejecting me. And he made it plain to Samuel, and now they're doing the same thing to you. They're doing the same thing to you. And, you know, we might seem like, oh, my God, why do I have to put up with this? Why are you allowing me to have this pain of rejection? Remember, Jesus said, if you don't suffer with me, neither will you reign with me. Suffering is part of the cross. Suffering is part of your calling. Suffering is part of your ministry, your anointing. Suffering is all going to be in there at some point, shape, form, or fashion or another. Suffering comes along with you being chosen by God. Rejection is a part of what you go receive in one way, shape, form, or fashion by God. Something he dropped on me, I think it was this morning. And you look at different people and you be like, okay, well, God, they're rejecting me. God, they're rejecting you. And you get the feeling, like, what kind of mind do they have that they will reject God? Knowing that you are God. Knowing that you know best. Knowing that you care for me and us. Knowing that you care, and you're providing for me and you're giving me life. I get to breathe your oxygen. You're keeping me from the corona disease and all that, and some still running around here rejecting God. And you like, God, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? And God is good at flipping the script and coming back and saying, well, remember how you rejected me too. It took me a long time to get your attention to the point where you would yield, where you would say, I yield, I can't hold out no longer. What must I do to be saved? Oh, he'll bring some things back to your remembrance. That's what he did to me the other day. How many times were you walking out of town and I had a servant put a gospel tract into your hand and you just throw it down on the ground? You reject me then. So some of this rejection thing that we face, bless God, is because it's something we have sown. It's something that at one time or another, when God was trying to get our attention, we rejected the word. We rejected God. So whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. So he told him that they're not really rejecting you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. In other words, they're rejecting the God that's in you. They're rejecting the God that's in you. So don't get all bent up out of shape. Don't get all discombobulated because you being rejected. Actually, you're in a good place. You may not be pleasing men, but you may be pleasing God. If you're getting rejected by men 99.9% of the time, and you know you're chosen by God, yeah, you're pleasing God. And it's better to please God than it is to please me. Even it talks about, the Bible even talks about, don't fear man who can just kill the body, but rather fear God who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. I think I'm going to get in that one, but hey, there we are again. But there he is. He tells him, the Lord tells to Samuel that they didn't reject you. They rejected me. In the 10th verse, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him. And I skipped something. The 9th verse told him, he said, now therefore hearken unto their voices, listen to the people. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them. In other words, protest, try to tell them, you know, now this ain't what you want. God will give it to you, but this ain't what you want. You know, you got time enough not to, you know, choose what God has been saying. But he said, now say unto this, in the NIV it says, now say, so now do as they say, but seriously warn them and make them aware of the policies of the king who will rule over them. In other words, let them know what they're going to get for rejecting you. What's going to happen? What's going to come down the pipeline for rejecting me? What's going to come down the pipeline for rejecting my ways? And Samuel told the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this is the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your son and appoint them for himself, for his chariot, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariot. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over 50, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots. And he will make, or he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards and the best of them and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will make, or he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young man and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and he will, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in the day because of your king, and ye shall have chosen, and ye, which ye have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. That's a strong warning. That's a stiff warning. He gives them a warning, letting them know the king will take everything. What just stood out to me? He said to me, he gonna take a tenth of this and a tenth of. Listen. If you ask me, he taking a tenth. He taking what belonged to God, the tenth. My God. My God, he's taking some stuff. He's taking the yards, the vineyards. He's taking the kids. He's going to use them for how he see fit. None of this stuff is happening to them at the time that they're asking for a king, but yet he tells them what's going to happen when they get the king, and he tells them that you're going to cry out to the Lord because you chose this king. And even though you go cry out to the Lord's not going to hear you when you cry out. To me, that's a scary thing, to know that I'm going to cry out to God and God not going to hear me. That's a scary thing. But in the 19th verse, it says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our God and that our king may judge us as we go before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Samuel, hearken unto their voices, make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. Telling you, the flesh will make you make some horrible decisions. Even though they knew what the repercussions or what the consequences were going to be for having a king, their flesh still cried out for a king. As we approach, or as we are already in the last day, I would say it really does behooves us to stay as close to the Lord as possible. I'm beginning to understand, and I'm beginning to see more and more in these last days why Jesus said that if it be possible, the very elect shall be and can be deceived. We're in a place where we need to pray more like never before. We're in a place now when we got to hear the word like never before. And we got to remember that God has said and is still saying to us on this day, I said before thee, life and death. Choose life. Choose God's way, not your way, but choose God's way. Praying, and I'm hoping that this word finds a resting place in whomever may be listening. Don't count yourself out just because someone has rejected you because of who you are in God. There'll be times that you're going to feel like you're all alone in this, and that's okay. But God will replenish. God will send you whatever you need at the right time. We have to remember that Jesus said, who is it that's my mother? Who is it that's my father? Who is it that's my brother and my sister? And he said, those who do it the will of my father, that's my mother, that's my father, that's my sister, that's my brother. Because I'm telling you that even in this walk, if you're chosen by God, you may be rejected by many. And some of the many that you might be rejected by may be that of your own flesh and blood. Not always going to be a good feeling. Not always going to be a good feeling. Sometimes it may be that of your own flesh and blood. But God allows it because God wants to see. He wants to see your heart. Do you love them more than you love me? Or do you love me more than you love them? I see and I hear what you say. But this is a case where I see your lips, but your heart is far away from me. Rejection has its purpose, folks. It just has its purpose. It has its purpose. But I guarantee you, if you hold on to what God has called you to do, if you hold fast to what God has chosen you to do, rejection will come. But by and by, God's going to make that thing sweeter. If you hold fast to what God has called you to do, if you hold fast, if you answer the call, if you fight the fight of faith like a good soldier, rejection will come. But I'm telling you, somewhere, by and by, God's going to make the deal sweet. I think it's in James, where he said, faint not, or be weary not at well-doing, but in due season, you will reap your reward. You may be suffering some rejection right now, but in due season, if you faint not, you shall receive your reward. Again, I thank the Lord for this opportunity, and I thank my marvelous producer, Kim and Kim, for having me on tonight. I thank you guys for listening. I'm going to bring it to a close right here. But again, oh my God, this is for someone who may be out there dead, by your family. You're not saved as of yet. You haven't given your heart to the Lord as of yet. And you're trying to find a place where you can fit in or get in. Let me give you the invitation tonight. Not just go out and join some kind of good society club. Not to go out and try to join a gang. I'm here to tell you, you can still have a family. You can have a family in Christ. Because a lot of people is out there floating around is trying to join this and join that. They're just trying to find a place where they can get in. They just want to be a part of something. I'm giving you an invitation to be a part of somebody that'll make you somebody. Give your heart to the Lord today. And if you're there, you're listening to me under the sound of my voice, if you want to be somebody, made by somebody, the greatest I am that I am. Just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And by doing so, I shall be saved. Now, Father, I'm doing this. I'm confessing it with my mouth now. I'm believing it with my heart. I ask that you come into my heart, save me. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life. Thank you, Father, for hearing me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you've said this prayer with me, if you need prayer, if you want prayer, you can reach me at Facebook, Brian Blasingame, Snapchat, Brian Blasingame, Instagram, Brian Blasingame. I'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. But as we say always, we thank God for you. And whatever you do, let's make sure we do it in decency and in order. But most of all, let us do it for his glory. Until the next time we meet again, God bless. May he protect you. May a hedge of protection be built around you. As you travel, let there be no mechanical failures and no human errors. In Jesus' name we pray. And we bind the spirit of COVID and any other evil thing or plague. It shall not come nigh us, nor our dwelling place. In the name of Yeshua, we pray and decree, amen. We out. Thank you, Kimmy Kim. Bless you. Bye-bye.
shine on the other side of rain. Sometimes you gotta go through to get to what God has in store for you. There is joy on the other side of pain. I know it feels dark right now and you can't seem to find your way. Storms are coming strong. Pain, and there is joy on the other side of pain, and there is sunshine on the other side of rain. Sometimes you gotta go through to get to what God has in store for you. There is joy on the other side of pain. I remember the time when I wanted to give up and die. Everything was going wrong, and I didn't know why. Sometimes you gotta go through what you don't wanna go through. There's a blessing waiting for you on the other side. Help me say.
It's on the other side.
Joy.
Joy.
It's on the-